recently an interview with Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow was the quarterback for the Florida Gators many years ago, the NCAA college team. In 2007, he was the Heisman Trophy winner. That means that he was voted by the Heisman Committee to be the best college football player in the entire nation. 2008, he took the Gators to the national championship game and won. I won't say the name of the team that he beat in the championship game, but that team won last night against Penn State, so it was a better day last night than that day was. In fact, I had an amazing expression of God's kindness yesterday to me personally. Is there anybody here that was born in Ohio? No one's been born in Ohio but me. Anybody here go to Ohio State but me? Okay? So it's really lonely. I'm saying all that to say it's really lonely being an Ohio State alum here in Western New York. And so yesterday, I hear all this come up. I was in my office just going over my sermon notes around noon, and I hear all this commotion out on the sidewalk, people talking, visiting, and I look out the window, and there's all these people out there wearing Ohio State paraphernalia right outside my window. And I'm like, I felt the presence of God right there. I'm like, God, you love me so much. And so I threw on my jacket, went out, and had to talk with them, and there was a whole bus load of people from Buckeye Lake, Ohio, on a tourism little outing, and they stopped in Leroy, got off the thruway to have lunch, and they spread out among the different restaurants here on Main Street, and it was amazing. So that was very kind of the Lord. But anyway, Tim Tebow graduated from college, was drafted by the Broncos. He had one pretty good year where he led the Broncos to their division title, got in the playoffs. There was this dramatic win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he made famous during his NFL career this thing called Tebowing. And we have a picture of what that is in case you're not familiar. And he was a very devout Christian. And at the end of every game, he would get down in this position and pray. And he just put God first in his life. And so that became a famous thing. But despite all his accomplishments, he made the NFL, Heisman Trophy, all his fame, all the millions of dollars he made, he struggled to succeed in the NFL. And so he bounced around for several teams after that over the next 6 years. And finally, nobody wanted him on their team anymore. Now, for a lot of players with that experience and that level of fame, that would be an incredible hard thing to face, that your career is done and nobody wants you. And, some would get really depressed over that. And so he decided that he would play baseball. It's like, what are you talking about? He had not played organized baseball since he was a junior in high school 11 years earlier. And he decided he was going to play baseball. And everybody was kind of mocking, like, how's he going to, what, this is crazy. Well, he worked his tail off. And one of the pro teams took him into their organization, but not into the major leagues. They put him in their lowest level, the Class A St. Lucie Mets. And he played for them. And after 1 year, he was promoted. And this year, he played for the AA Binghamton team. Here's him in the uniform with the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. That's really big time, isn't it? You've heard of the Rumble Ponies, haven't you? Nobody's heard of the Rumble Ponies. Here's the most famous Heisman Trophy winner of recent years, and he's playing for the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. And you're like, now he's riding in buses from little town to little podunk town to play baseball. You think, how hard is that for this guy to face this new life without that kind of fame? And his words were, I'm just blessed to be playing baseball. I'm just blessed to be playing. Now, that's a perspective right there. That's keeping perspective. God has blessed me to allow me to play this game, baseball. Our perspectives are so easily affected by emotions, by disappointments, by worries. Do Do those thoughts deserve our central focus? Do they deserve to be right here? Come on now. What are the needs that occupy our mental energy? He had plenty of reason to be occupied with disappointment and stuff like that, but our perspectives need a shift sometimes. I'm not sure many of the things that you and I are thinking about deserve to be right there in the front center of our thinking. In fact, I want to talk to you today about what needs to be front and center from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In my early 20s, I had given a lot of other things central focus in my thinking. I was about to graduate from college. I had a summer job, but nothing lined up after that. I was way in debt from college. I was worried about finding a wife. I was worried about finding... I had this beat-up old car. Here's a picture of that old rusty Torino. I don't know who the guy is there that's taking care of it, but, you know, I had a lot on my mind concerning things that worried me. And a friend of mine gave me one of those little pocket New Testaments. He gave me a little pocket New Testament. And as I was reading through it, I came to Matthew chapter 6. And he says, Jesus said, why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't fret about this stuff. And your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than those birds? Your Father knows you need those things. And why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Look at these flowers, these lilies of the field. Look how God has arrayed these things. Look how beautiful they are. Solomon wasn't even that beautiful. He wasn't dressed that well. And you're more important than those flowers are. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Why do you worry about those things? And then he said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said these words, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. His point is, I want you to relate to all these things in the right way. We all need all these things. Let's just say that together, all these things on three. One, two, three. All these things. We need all these things. But there's certain priorities God wants us to have in our thinking. And he says, if you put things in the right priority, all these things will be taken care of. There's a perspective shift we need. We need to live in right relationship to all these things. He's saying, if you'll put your focus on the kingdom of God, that is letting the Lord Jesus have rule and reign in your life, surrendering. We sang today, I give you my heart. If you give him your heart, Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Do what he says. Be a follower. And if your focus is on righteousness, the word righteousness means right standing. It means to be in right standing. If your focus is on being in right standing with God, all the things you need will be taken care of. My emotions get so affected easily by all these things. But they need a reset. They need to be set by a different thermostat. The thermostat of God's word, the thermostat of what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the Holy Spirit is saying, if you focus on being in right standing with me, I'll take care of all these things. There was a recent visit to this church that was amazing to me. I was in my office one day and someone came and wanted to see the pastor. And she had a few weeks earlier, been in Batavia and was driving in her car. It was a warm day, had her window down, and came down a little back street. And there was a man walking along the street. He was tall, long dark hair, dark complected. And she didn't know who he was, never seen him before. Had her window rolled down, and as she came up, he looked in, looked right into her eyes, and he started speaking to her in another language. Didn't know what language it was. She started to drive on, and this voice said to her, go back, talk to him. And she looked back, and he was gone. And she's like, I don't know, was that an angel? Well, there was no place to hide, but he was gone. He was there, and then he was gone. And then she was walking by the church, and the same voice said, go in there. And so she walked in and carrying pain from a couple of years of real deep hardship and hurt. And someone very close had said, everything you're going through is all your fault. And you ever heard words like that? This is all your fault. And see, she wasn't looking to like have all the circumstances change suddenly, that everything could be undone, that had happened, but wanted to know, am I right here in a vertical relationship with God? I want to find peace again. I don't want everything being my fault. A brother in worship talked about, hey, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't go back and take guilt on you. Jesus took your guilt. Don't go back and take fault on yourself. He took our faults. He took every failure we've ever had. He took them to the cross. And he took our grief. He took our sorrows. He took it all. Jesus sent out 70 of his disciples one time to preach. And they went out and they were healing the sick, preaching the good news. They were laying hands on lepers, healing them. All kinds of great things were happening. They came back and said, hey, even demons were subject to us in our name. And Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 10. He said, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. There it is again. Seek first the kingdom of God. All that stuff will be taken care of you. That ministry you're doing, that's great. But listen, the main thing I want you to be rejoicing about is that this is good, that your name's written in heaven, that you're secure. That's the most important thing. There's nothing that deserves the central place in your thinking more than that, that you're forgiven. Amy brought that prophetic word this morning. I, when she told me what it was going to be, I was like, you're preaching my sermon right now. Jesus said, every day you wake up, do you wake up understanding what I've done for you? Do you understand what God has made available to you? The peace of God, the security of knowing that when you pass away, you're going to live forever in heaven. Do you understand what that means? He made something possible that would be impossible for us. Do you get that? So why do you let other things take this location in your thinking? We do that because we don't understand the power of what he did do for us. Luke chapter 5 has an incredible story. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, and they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Now, Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asked him, why do you question this in your hearts? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven, stand up, or is it easier to say stand up and walk? So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. See, they went into that day with one perspective, and they came out with a shift of perspective. Because what did Jesus give him first? A healing or forgiveness? He gave him forgiveness first. What was the most important? They said, we've seen amazing things today. Amazing things means their mindset were changed that day. They saw things from God's perspective in a fresh way. We live in a day where we need that. We need a shift in our perspective. There's so many things that want to occupy this central place in our minds. God can take care of all these things. He can throw stuff at us. He can throw stuff at us faster than we could catch it if he wants to. But he doesn't want it being in front of our minds, grabbing for our attention. He wants it, like, picture it behind you, just pressing you closer to Jesus, and just enjoy that pure, clean right standing relationship with your Father because Jesus paid the price for your sins. Thank God for it. Wake up every morning with that being the center focus of your mind. I am accepted. I am free. I'm loved. I am loved. Do you get that? Do we wake up ecstatic about that? Do we grasp the privileges of being free of regret, free of shame, guilt? He's saying, I want you to relate to these things in a different way. The man came there thinking, the friends brought him because he was paralyzed. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. He's laying there saying, I'm paralyzed. I need a healing. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. No, I need a healing. No, your sins are forgiven. Let's go to the first thing first. Oh, but Lord, I need a new job. I desperately need a new job. Oh, please, Lord, give me this job. I lost one. This one I have isn't very good. I'm worried about the bills. And he's like, no, you need to be forgiven. That's what you need. Put that back here. Don't let that be up front. Don't let that be in the front portal of your mind. Don't let that weigh on you like that. You need to be forgiven. No, what I really need is $100,000 because that would take care of all my debts. That would set me up for the future. I wouldn't have to worry about that. No, what you need is forgiveness. Oh, no, what I really need, Lord, I need a husband or a wife because if I could just be married, then I'd be content and peaceful. Everything would be good. And all the married people said, no, what you need to be is forgiven. Because you're going to carry so much baggage into that relationship if you don't get this right. If you don't get this right, you need to be a whole person going into this marriage. This isn't about two half people who are only half a person until they find a spouse. A good marriage is when one whole person marries another whole person and they become one flesh. They become one married couple. And if you're looking for that to fill the void, forget it. That's free, but that's on the side. The point is, no, what you really need is to be forgiven. You know, Lord, I need a miracle in this area of my life. I need your help, Lord, in forgetting all the ways I've failed you. No, what you really need is just forgiveness. Number one, you need forgiveness. It's the greatest need we have is forgiveness. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said, the Old Testament says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You do the right, you get your perspective right. Take those things that don't deserve to be right here. Put them back here. Put them back here. Delight yourself in me. Don't rejoice that you can do this, that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and that right standing with me and all those things. All these things. Everybody say all these things. All these things will be given to you if you got this right and you keep it right and you keep the focus where it belongs. You want to celebrate the greatest thing God's done? Celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for us. It's really powerfully on the mind of God because he watched his own son brutally beaten and die on the cross for you. Romans chapter 4, Paul is writing about some of the history of the nation and about this principle of being in right standing with God, and he uses Abraham and David as examples. He says, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. Are you going to have something to boast about if you get to heaven? But that was not God's way. For the scripture says, Abraham believed God. God counted him as righteous because of his faith. not by his works, but by his faith. Paul went on to say, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they've earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Anybody here not a sinner? Born not a sinner. David, I mean, Abraham's greatest attribute in the Old Testament, looking back, was that he was in right standing with God because of his faith. He wasn't perfect. In fact, one time he lied about his wife. She's my sister. Ladies, how would you like that? Your husband says, she's my sister, not my wife. He wasn't perfect. But because of his faith, he was made in right standing with God. And then it goes on to say, David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working on it. Now listen to David's express it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Listen to his joy. His sin's been cleared away, forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. People want us to blame us. People want to blame us for stuff. It's your fault. Sometimes you want to blame yourself. It's my fault. This is all the stuff happening to me is my fault. These circumstances, they're my fault. Sometimes that can happen. Sometimes not. But whether it's true or not, this is true. Forgiven. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can have this relationship with the Father, pure and good. The disciples asked Jesus one time, they saw this blind man. They said, whose fault is it, Lord, that this man was born blind? Is it his fault? Did he sin? Was it his parents' fault? Jesus said, it was nobody's fault. Forget that. God says, let's take this situation, let's take this need that's occupying your thoughts, job situation, that failure, that financial lack, physical need, whatever it is. Let's take it out of this place, front and center, and let's put it back here. Let's have a shift. That passage about the paralyzed man ends with this verse. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we've seen amazing things today. We've seen amazing things. We saw a man's sins forgiven today. We saw a man healed, but we saw the Messiah forgive sins. We had a perspective shift. Lori, if you'd come on up. Someone's going to have to help her with that little girl. Oh my goodness. Years ago, when our oldest son was a little guy, he was, 3-4 years old. We lived in the third floor apartment of a big old house in Lima, New York. And I was a student at the Bible College, and my wife was home with our kids, and neighbor kids were over all the time. And you know Sandy, she's like the Pied Piper when it comes to kids. They're just all around her. And all of a sudden that day, she couldn't find our son Andrew. He was there, and then he was gone. And she's calling. They're outside. The kids are outside. She said, Andrew? Where's Andrew? We lived on the main drag of Lima, Route 5, there's that highway there. She's looking like, what happened? She's just running around the house. Andrew. No answer. What happened? Maybe he went into the house to go to the bathroom. She runs upstairs to our third floor apartment. No Andrew. She's calling, no answer. She's opening doors of every room in that little apartment. No Andrew. Calling for him. And imagine that feeling inside your heart. My son is lost or gone or taken or what happened. And she's her heart's racing and her voice is getting shaky, and she's calling, Andrew, what happened? And she's starting to shake. Did somebody come by and take him? What happened to my son? And thankfully, all of a sudden, she's calling Andrew, and she heard this sniffle coming from the back bedroom. And she called his name again, and she heard another sniffle. She said, Andrew. And he came out from behind the bed. It turns out he was ashamed because he had been out on his tricycle and ran it into the neighbor's car and scratched it. He was feeling guilty, feeling ashamed. And to discover that he could be forgiven of that and didn't have to carry that shame. But also to experience just for a little bit the moment of what God must feel like when a son or a daughter is lost or far from him. How much God feels when his children aren't in the nest. I think there's probably a couple kinds of people here today, and I want to pray for you. One is people you've been forgiven. You've given your life to Jesus before. You understand forgiveness. But you've allowed some things to take front and center besides the importance and the revelation that you are in right standing with God, forgiven. And you can wake up every day knowing you're accepted, secure, free, loved unconditionally. And we want to take this opportunity today to just kind of take those things that have robbed you of that joy and get them out of that front place and put them back where they belong. Because he said, you put this first and all of that, I'll take care of that for you. So I want to pray for you. And there's a... In fact, let's stand. Let's do that now. Before we go any further, let's do that. How many of you got some stuff front and center other than realizing how good it is to be right with your Heavenly Father? And you just want to take those things and move them out. Don't give them what they don't deserve. They don't deserve to be the front center of your thinking. Don't give them that place. If you got stuff, you got all kinds of things. Remember all these things? Just close your eyes for a moment. Forget about anybody else around you. If you've got things in your mind that have been robbing you of the joy of your relationship with God the Father, would you just hold your hands in front of you as kind of a representative, representing that these things. And I want you to take them and just take your hand and just throw it behind you. Just throw it behind you. Don't hit the person behind you, but throw it behind you. Lord, I just thank you for the grace today to put all these things behind us and to rejoice in the freedom and the joy and the grace that you've offered us, the eternal security, the love, the acceptance. Oh God, you are so good to us. You are so good. And we thank you. Lord, restore the joy of our forgiveness and salvation, I pray. I pray that for each one who's taken stuff, who's taken things today and thrown it behind them and are putting you first, who are going to delight in you, Father. We delight in you because you said if we delight ourselves in the Lord, you will give us the desires of our heart. You'll take care of all these things. We do that, Lord. We do that with faith and we trust you. Lord, forgive us our doubt, our unbelief, and all the things that have come in and robbed us of our joy. In Jesus' name. Now there's another kind of person I want to pray with today, and maybe you're feeling kind of far from or distant from the Lord, maybe a little bit, maybe a whole lot. And we all have issues in our life, but maybe you just decided to come here today on your own, or maybe you're like the paralyzed person that came here by invitation. Somebody invited you, brought you here. But I'm telling you, you're not here by any accident. Because God wants to make available to you that forgiveness that is the most powerful thing in the universe, is the forgiveness of God. You're not here by accident. this is a word for you today. It's a now word. Because Jesus, he sees the things you've been worried about, the things that are front and center, but he wants you to experience his forgiveness. He knows your biggest need. And he wants to pronounce, if you'll give him your sins, he wants to pronounce you forgiven. Hebrews 1:3 says your sins have been purged. Isaiah 53 says they've been blotted out. Psalm 103 says they've been put away. Hebrews says God can remember your sins no more. Now, God has an amazing mind, and he can remember everything. But there's one thing he's chosen not to remember, and that's our sins. He's chosen not to remember your sins. I have committed many sins, and God has chosen by his grace and mercy not to remember them anymore. He's the only person in the universe who can forget like that. I want to ask, have you laid your sins at the feet of Jesus Christ this morning and let him take them away so that you can receive that pronouncement? It's not your fault. It's forgiven. Forget fault. Forget regret. Forget shame, guilt. Forgiven is the word he wants to pronounce. Right now, I want everyone to close your eyes one more time. One more time. Listen, don't. Sometimes when I say close your eyes, people who've been half asleep half the sermon start opening their eyes because they want to see what's going on. Trust me, I'm not going to hurt anybody here. Come on, close your eyes. This is between you and the Father. And if you feel that distance like my son felt, distant from adults because he thought he'd sinned, he'd messed up. He felt distant. So he went into hiding. If you're feeling distant from God and you want to experience the complete forgiveness that brings you close, not because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus did for you, on a count of three, I just want you to lift your hand up and put it back down and just say, I'm embracing the forgiveness of God. Every eye closed on three. One, two, three. If that's you, just lift up your hand, put it back down. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate, Lord, your forgiveness. We celebrate that today. Every head bow, let's pray this together. If this is in your heart to pray, I just want to ask everyone here to repeat this prayer after me. Father, you have searched me. You have known me. You know the commands I've broken. You see the attitudes of my heart. You see the doubt and the pride. You see the impurity. You see when I've misled others, but I can't mislead you. And so forgive me my doubts. Forgive me for doubting your love. I believe you love. I believe you forgive. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Guide my life. I give you my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If the altar teams that are on the schedule, if you'd come forward and make yourself available, these two teams would love to pray for you this morning. If you have any need that you came in carrying and just haven't felt the grace to let it go, if there's something you're carrying, some sorrow, some hurt, some pain, some financial situation, you don't want it to be occupying the front place of your mind, but you want some help just to release that to the Lord and put it in his hands. You want someone to join you in prayer. Let one of these couples pray for you. So in a moment, you're dismissed, and you can stay in fellowship as long as you like. There's refreshments in the lobby, you just enjoy one another. Thank you to the family of Kate and Joe that came out this morning and joined us. We appreciate you so much. Appreciate this family. And so God bless you. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy your forgiveness. Amen. Amen. God bless you.